Please to Genesis chapter 47 for our second reading. Genesis chapter 47, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren, and their flocks and their herds, and all that they have, are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for their horses and for their flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for asses and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have brought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph, and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So in the first section of this chapter, verses 1 through 12, we have the introduction of the family of Joseph to Pharaoh. And I hope you noticed, because I kind of clued you in, tuned you up to it before, that this is not an introduction of beggars into Pharaoh's court. It is an introduction of a stately ambassage before Pharaoh. And so, first of all, Joseph comes in by himself, and he says, my family is here. Then he brings in five of his brethren, and they meet Pharaoh, and they talk, they rehearse what Joseph told them to say, that thy servants are shepherds, and please settle us in the land of Goshen. I want you to think about for a moment how bold a request that was, that they should come in from Canaan and on the behest of Joseph, say to Pharaoh in his presence, settle us in Goshen. We've heard you have some land there. But it is not so bold if you understand that Pharaoh and Joseph were making a deal of state here. And they did not come in simply as a begging family. So then there was indeed this kind of dealing between Joseph and the brothers. This becomes even more open, more clear when Jacob comes in. And I want you to recognize what's going on here. The first thing, Jacob comes in. Joseph brings Jacob in before Pharaoh. And Jacob lifts up his hands and blesses Pharaoh. Remember what Genesis 14 tells us. That the lesser is blessed of the greater. Jacob is the one who speaks with the authority of Joseph's God, who interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh and has provided all of the bounty in Egypt. It is as that kind of a man that Jacob walks into Pharaoh's presence. Not as a beggar, but as a man who speaks for God. And in a sense, he says to him, the only reason you are being blessed today is because the God of my fathers blesses you so you can take care of us. It is indeed a very bold thing for Jacob to do, and yet he is right. It is true. And so Jacob walks in, and the first thing that he does is he blesses Pharaoh. Pharaoh, for his part, seems rather impressed with the blessing, and so he says to Jacob, how old are you? How old are you? In other words, what kind of a man is in my presence here? How long have you walked with this God that you have now blessed me, or from whom you have now blessed me? And Jacob says, well, I've been here 130 years. 130 years, few and evil have the days of my life been, and I have not attained to the days of my fathers. I've still got a lot of work to do, he says. I've not yet attained to the days of my fathers. My time is not over yet. And so then, amazingly, when Jacob departs, he blesses Pharaoh again. Okay, so the second blessing is so that we would know that Pharaoh received that blessing. He didn't tell him, "What do you do coming into my court blessing me? Don't you understand I'm the one who's providing for you?" We don't have any of that. We have instead such an honor and respect for Joseph and Joseph's God that when Jacob comes into town and blesses from Joseph's God, that Pharaoh says, I better listen. I better hear that. And so then Jacob departs out of Pharaoh's presence, and it says that Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. So it's very clear here that the lesser is blessed by the greater. Jacob's confession of his life, rather moving, isn't it? "My life is but a vapor, right? Few and evil have been my days." He's not a haughty patriarch at all. He's not wondering why these things are happening to him. He's not complaining. He's not weak, Jacob. He is Israel. And he's blessing Pharaoh. So let us learn this from Jacob then. Our lives are indeed small. We pass through our days spending little time thinking about the days of our lives, the impress we will leave upon our children, the legacy that we leave behind. We search out our comforts and recreations and pleasure, even lawful pleasures that we can find. We neglect to serve in wanting to be served. We do not take stock as we should. We deny our sins. We continue in them. But Jacob, we see him as a man who by all accounts lived a rich and full life, yet blessed by God. But looking back, he sees not his triumphs, but how he has failed to serve rightly. We see a particular humility. And isn't that winsome when we see it? It is, isn't it? So his humility extends then to seeing his fathers as more blessed than himself. And we see Jacob as he blesses Pharaoh. And then we see the type of Christ that Joseph is, feeding and caring for the church. All right, so then in verses 13 through 26, you know, if you talk to some folks about Joseph and what he did here in 13 through 26, some people are pretty critical of Joseph. I'll say I think that what he does here is extremely commendable, and that it is only an evil eye that would put a negative construction on what Joseph does here. Joseph saves the lives of all Egypt almost single-handedly as the director, as the manager, as the overseer over all of those necessary works that saved the lives of the Egyptians. And for their part, they recognize it. They see it. They understand that was it not for Joseph and his foresight, the foresight, yes, indeed, that God gave him, and Joseph acknowledges that freely. Was it not for that, they would be dead. Egypt would be no more. And so they understand that. And so the first thing that happens is they buy grain. And so all of the money comes into Pharaoh's house. Then after all of their money is gone, then they give up their cattle, their animals. And all of that comes into Pharaoh's house. And can I just put it aside here? It's not said in the text, but I think it's implied. Where do you think that cattle goes? I think it goes to Goshen. I think it's cared for in Goshen. And then, after the cattle is gone, and after all the money is gone, the people come, and there are still several years of famine left, and they give up what? Well, they give up their lands and themselves. They give up their lands, and they give up themselves to become Pharaoh's servants. And so Joseph moves them into cities and leaves a few of them with some grain to go out into the fields and to plant, because there's no grain growing that they could harvest and then replant that year. But the grain that they had saved up over the 7 years of plenty, now they begin to plant that grain so that they can grow. And that is indeed great industry and foresight on the part of Joseph under the hand of Christ, and also a great mercy to those people who otherwise would have starved out after just a few short months. He gathers them into cities so that they can continue as men of industry. Remember that Egypt was not primarily a farming community. It was a nation that farmed to feed itself, but that mostly it was textiles and spices that was the stock and trade of the land of Egypt. And so what they did then was they moved them into the cities where they could be involved in those kinds of activities and still maintain a good living. And so I think that what Joseph does here is kindness all the way around. And notice also, and this is something that is important for us to remember, that the policy of nations with regard to how they care for their poor and their indigent, there is a great example here from Joseph. And that is, if you give someone something for nothing, they will account of it as nothing. But he refused to do that. He didn't just give up the grain so that they would develop a kind of entitlement. They understood that that grain was a commodity that must be bought, that must be purchased, that must be exchanged for something else of value. And when they had nothing else of value to exchange for it, they exchanged their labor for it. Notice they were not slaves. They were exchanging their labor for money. They were not owned by Pharaoh, but they were most certainly exchanging their labor for particular goods. There's nothing wrong with that. And as a matter of fact, Solomon says that one of the best things that we can do is enjoy the fruit of our labor. That's what Joseph did. Joseph didn't enslave the nation of Egypt. Joseph didn't steal all of the land. Joseph didn't steal all of their cattle. They bought the grain for their lands and for their cattle and for their labor and for their money. Those are good things. Those kinds of exchanges are good. And the Lord simply, at that point in Egypt's history, emptied the coffers of the people and filled the coffers of Pharaoh so that Pharaoh might care for the chosen people. That's right. That's where that goes. So let's not be too hard on Joseph. Let's understand that Joseph refused to give something for nothing so that it would be worth nothing when it was received. And brothers and sisters, I cannot tell you the grief that I experience when I look over our nation. And part of the troubles that we have today is that we are in the habit of giving up something for nothing, and so it is nothing as received. Had we as a people the policy of Joseph, there would have been a greater dignity, a greater nobility. We would have been trading our labor for the goods that we received rather than receiving it for nothing and accounting of it as nothing and thinking that it was somehow owed. This is a great policy. It is a biblical policy. All right, so then in the last section, verses 27 through the end, we have the arrangement between Israel and Joseph. Notice that Israel is a man who lives in Egypt, but that is not his home. As a covenant-bearing man, his home is Canaan. And so he says to Joseph, "When I die, take me to the cave of Machpelah." Not in so many words, but that's exactly what he means. And Joseph says, "I will." And Israel says, "No. Swear to me." This is how important this is to me. "Swear to me that you will take me to Canaan. Put your hand under my thigh." And of course, the arrangement was that two men would stand almost nose to nose, and they would grab the top of the thigh just below the buttocks, one of another. And they would put their hands one another right there. And in other words, we are as close as we can be to one another to do each other harm should we break this covenant. And they drew one another close just like that. And Joseph said, "I swear, I will take your bones back to Canaan land. I know that's where you belong." And Joseph, for his part, we will find just a little bit later in this book. And then once again, very thankfully, in Exodus, we will see the same thing from Joseph. "When I die, make sure that when God delivers you from the bondage in Egypt, that you carry my bones. Because I know I live most of my life here, but I don't belong here. I belong there." Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 47. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms.